Welcome back on into another episode of the Lads Talking Footy Podcast. It is myself, Sam, as always, joined by Jordan Tana. Mate, how's it going?
Yeah, we're good, man. But I've actually got to ask you something a little personal. I didn't want to do this on air, but would I be able to get a loan, bro? Because I've been looking at your results, and you must be a rich man because you had a great week this week.
Yeah, I was sitting there and we got up to the Cowboys game and I was thinking, man, we might be in for a perfect week here because the best bets, they went bang. You've transitioned us perfectly in it. So, Jordan, do you want to take us away for accountability?
Yeah, well, like I said, great week from you. Sort of not so good week from me, but it's still all right. It's a pass mark. My picks were 5.5 out of 8 and your picks were 6.5 out of 8. And we started the week with the Roosters beating the Knights 22-20, which is unfortunately where I went down, taking the Knights 1-12. How'd you go there?
Yeah, I ended up, I took Tupou and the Roosters at a plus 15.5. It really stretched that line out, which I had no need to do. That was in at $3.10, so he crashed in there. I think Tupou managed to nab a double in that one.
Yeah, he did. He got greedy, and he wanted to make sure that your pick came through. So shout out Tupou for that. Storm ended up beating the Bulldogs in a real close one, 16-14. I had the Bulldogs at that disrespectful line, 18.5, so that cashed there. And
yeah, I ended up taking Pappenhausen into the Storm to win at double your money on that one. I think he scored, was it the first try of the match in that one? And I thought, okay, there we go, lock that one in, just give me the result. As soon as they started coming back, though, I was thinking, oh, here we go.
Yeah, but Storm, clutch as always, know how to win those close ones. And Pappy lives up to the Bulldog Hunter moniker, bro. He knows how to score a try against the Doggies. Next game, Broncos beating the Dolphins 28-14. I've come through once again with the Broncos -9.5. Sammy?
Yeah, I ended up having Selwyn Cobbo and the Broncos to win. Cobbo had a fantastic record against the Finns, but like we said in the show previous to that, was on the wing, but he managed to cash in at centre there. Little bit of a mismatch, I guess, up in that midfield. Few changes ended up happening for the Finns, but we managed to lock in there at $3.10.
Yep, very nice. And if I'm keeping score so far, you are perfect at this point going into the week. And up next, you got another one, right? And for the result, it kind of tears your heart in half because it's a complete draw between your two teams. Warriors 22-all with the Seagulls. I've gone the Warriors to cover that -5.5 line, which they did not do. But Sam?
Yeah, I ended up taking DWZ anytime into the Warriors at a +6.5. And like any good fence sitter, when you get a result that sits in a draw between your two favourite teams, you can't be too turn your nose up too much at that one. It was a hell of a comeback. I saw the score as we were driving home from footy and I thought, oh shit, the Eagles, they've really gotten up here and they've pushed them out at home. But what a comeback from the Warriors in that one. But nonetheless, yeah, Dallin, $2.30 odds there. We get up again.
Yeah, it's good to see Dallin bounce back for you because he kind of burnt you last week, I think. So, Martini Zalesniak back in the good books. The Eels end up beating the Cowboys 27-20. I have once again gone down with Cowboys 1-12.
Yeah, and I ended up getting, I took Fout and the Cowboys to win in this one at $3.10, so I went down there. Kyle Fout, he crossed over to begin with, but ended up having the try disallowed. And then obviously, Dejan Arce puts the dagger in and gets the Eels the win in that one.
Yeah, and Fouty also had a big like 80-meter break as well. If he had maybe 5 years less in the legs, could have made it and got at least that portion of the bet. The Sharks end up beating the lowly Rabbitohs 34-22. I've taken the Sharks -7.5, and they've covered that.
Yeah, and I ended up taking Katoa into the Sharks at +6.5 at $2.30. So we went in there. Yeah, I was a little bit worried about this game. I wasn't sure with all of the changes if the Bunnies would bounce back in that one. That was why we took the big spread in there. And then Katoa, fantastic record against the Bunnies and doesn't let us down again.
Nah, and it was a winger fest for the Sharkies against the Rabbitohs because Molitalo crosses for three himself. So you could have gone either side and came through with some juice. The Dragons end up beating the Tigers 24-12. Another wrong pick for me. I've taken the Tigers 1-12.
Yeah, and I've ended up going either team 1-12 into Zach Lomax at $3.50. The stats didn't lie on that one. I think it was 6 of the last 7 games between the Dragons and the Tigers ended in a 1-12 result. And we got bang on the 12 there into Lomax, who looked absolutely fantastic. But as soon as he crossed to begin with, I thought, here we go. And then I was a little bit worried that the Dragons were going to blow that one out, but the Tigers managed to, like any good spoon team, pull it back in. And yeah, we got the 1-12 result there.
Yeah, and Dragons looking a little better this year. But, you know, 1-12, just on the money. We'll take those wins all day. And then to round out the week, Raiders beat the Titans 21-20 in a golden point thriller. I've had a bit of a shocker here. I've gone Raiders 13+ and total points over 43.5, which have both missed for me. Titans stepping up more than I thought they would. How's it gone for you?
Yeah, I ended up taking Timoko into the Raiders to win here at $2.60. So we went down. Timoko didn't cross. And yeah, the Raiders, obviously, they managed to just sneak through by some fantastic skill from Strange out on the left-hand edge there. It was fantastic to see. But man, the Titans, for a team last year that was a second half, would just fold. They ended up coming back in the second half. And so they got to sort something out with what they're doing. But then into the repeat sets, mate. How'd you go?
Nah, the streak is over. The streak is finally over. I've gotten greedy, like I said I would have, but even if I didn't go greedy, I've gone the Warriors -5.5 to cover that line, and they unfortunately have it. I'm not going to hop off the Warriors bandwagon in terms of betting. They're still, you know, well, I've got the jersey on, so I still got to ride them to the very end, but yeah, unfortunately, the streak is done. We try again this week.
Yeah, I ended up going Katoa and anytime try score at $2 odds, double your money there. The stats didn't lie and he cashed over in that one. As for the 40-20 though, I had Pap and Katoa locked in there, anytime try scorers, but that went into Tomoko. I got real greedy there, $8.17 odds, and the 40-20 let me down in this one. I've learned from it this week. You'll see later on what we've got. But yeah, how'd you go on the 40-20s, mate?
Less surprisingly, I've also missed my 40-20. And it was the Raiders that burnt me as well, because I've gone Raiders 13+, and the Sharks actually came through covering that -8.5 line. So, once again, a shanked 40-20.
Yeah, it's was a tough one. The stats didn't lie on that one, but I was really hoping for a perfect round. The way we kicked off, we went, what was it, 4 in a row. I was thinking, here we go, if we can get lock 5 in here, we're humming-hoeing. But anyway, it was a +15.30 unit collection for me that round, which was absolutely fantastic. And that takes my current units now to +58.15 on the season. So for struggling last year in terms of our just odd slips when we're sort of matching it all up, I thought, oh, if I can just sort of sit around the neutral area or something, we might have some up weeks, we might have some down weeks, but we've managed to just slowly keep climbing up, and that one gave us a big spike that round. As for the free betting tips recap, we ended up staking 65 units over the week, and we had a 60.72 unit collect, so it was a small loss for us in this one. We came really close on a couple of them. We had Xavier Coates, and I think it was Jesse Arthurs as well, locked in on multis, which both had tries, both were disallowed. But yeah, nonetheless, that's footy for you. And moving into the headlines, I've got three for you this week, Jordan, and we're going to start with the news today, breaking news, and Joey Manu, who has announced that he will depart the Roosters at the end of the 2024 season to join Rugby Union Club in Japan, Toyota Vib Blitz. Currently, where Aaron Smith, Tom Robinson, Peter Steph Dutoit are all playing, and it's also rumoured that All Blacks ex-head coach Ian Foster will be taking over there next year.
Yep.
Beauden Barrett's there at the moment, but he's coming back to the Blues, so it's a shame he doesn't get to link up there. But what do you take from the whole move? I mean, the Roosters seem to be putting down the Steedens and picking up Gilberts at the moment.
Yeah, from a pure league fan standpoint, I'm a little bit disappointed that Joey Manu is going over to Rugby Union. I still watch Rugby Union a lot, but I won't be watching him because I don't really watch those Japanese top leagues and stuff like that. So it is pretty disappointing from a rugby league fan standpoint. It will be disappointing for the Roosters as well, because he is a fantastic player. He is one of the best centers in the competition. I'd have him right in there in my top five. And he's also a good utility player, not so much as a half, but he showed in the weekend that he can break records in running meters as a fullback, running for 347 running meters. And he just is outstanding in that position. Mr. Fix-It, can play him at the fullback, can play him on either center side, can play him both sides of the field. And yeah, he'll be a big loss for the Roosters because he's still a young guy as well. In terms of like a different sort of fan perspective, because I am a rugby guy as well. I do like my All Blacks. I do want to see how he goes in rugby union and whether he really wants to, you know, take a crack with that long term and then maybe come play some footy over here in New Zealand, because I wouldn't mind seeing him in the All Blacks. He's got all the offloading talent and skills to be a midfielder at that level. So there is a little bit of me that is interested in that aspect of it, but it is a big loss for rugby league, and yeah, he will be missed.
Yeah, he's obviously chasing the money. I'd love to see him in New Zealand rugby as well. Imagine going down to your local NPC game and you get to see Joey Manu carving it up in the centres or something like that. It's an interesting move, eh? I mean, we haven't sort of, there's been no disclosure on what the full deal details are around the actual deal itself. If we're going off what the rumours were beforehand, it looked like he would play two seasons there, which means he'd only end up missing the one season of the NRL, which would be the 2025 season, to then return in 2026. I do hope he returns to the league, because he's, like you said, he's absolutely fantastic. He's one of the top five centres in the league at the moment, Mr. Fix-It. And if he doesn't come back, I almost feel like there will just be this question on, like, what if? We got to see Joey Manu at fullback again on the weekend, and it's like a remake of Run, Forrest, Run, pretty much. It's just exactly what he does right. And I'd love to just see him a full season under the belt at fullback, whether it be for the Roosters, which it probably won't be, obviously, with Tedesco. And having re-signed, it would be like quite later down the track. I want to see him in that number one jersey, because he showed glimpses of his, with the try assist in terms of his silky hands and silky finishing and stuff like that. But you get him like a full preseason under the belt at fullback. You get him a full week in, week out. That's where he's playing. It'd be interesting to see how he develops. But I mean, nonetheless, he's going to a very stacked Japan team. He's going to be coached by, potentially coached by Ian Foster. I mean, we may be looking at him seeing if he could transition into this game. I mean, Ian Foster's had Tuivasa Sheck just recently under his belt. I know Shag's been there with Toyota Verblitz. I don't know what how he'll have his hands in on this, but he obviously mentored Sonny Bill when he was coming through. So he's gone and put himself in a very interesting spot, and it will be interesting to see how he reacts to it all. Because we did see when Sonny as well left league and he went to Union, he was absolutely carving it up for Toulon. So it'll be interesting to see where Manu plays. If he does actually just stick him in that centre role and he starts to cut loose, because, man, that boy's got some talent.
Yeah.
Now we move into another centre, and that is Zach Lomax. The anticipated signing of him, the Parramatta Eels have announced today that they have signed him until the end of the 2028 season. We called it a couple of weeks ago on where we thought, or where we would like him to go. I think everyone was sort of thinking Parramatta, they need their centres. It just fits perfectly. I mean, what are your thoughts now that it's actually happened?
Yeah, I mean, some moves are just so obvious that when they happen, you're like, it just had to happen. It makes a whole lot of sense. And he fits perfectly into that squad, and his abilities, you know, they've been out here asking for some more X factor for a long time. And this guy, the way he's been playing this year, he kind of epitomizes X factor with his offloading ability, some of the flick passes he does back on the inside, his pace, his kill kicking ability is really good. And he's really put himself in a good position to push for a New South Wales jersey as well. So him going from the Dragons to the Eels, it's going to keep him in that conversation a bit more, because traditionally the Eels are a lot stronger than the Dragons. The Dragons have kind of been struggling over the last couple of years. So, yeah, I like this move for Lomax. I like this move for the Eels. It's unfortunate for the Dragons, because with bringing in Flanagan, they've kind of, I'm not going to say they've turned a corner, but they've looked a little bit better to start the season, and he could have been a key piece to help them keep building and build around him. And, you know, he is such a talented player that the Dragons will go forward with him being at his best. So I do think the Dragons will miss out on him, but Eels have picked up a great one, and they can continue this role that they've been having as soon as Moses comes back, and then, you know, continue being at their best.
Yeah, I agree. I like what you've touched on. He's really brought out the best in him this season, like we've been saying. and all the news around, like, is New South Wales Blues potential. And yeah, it is a shame for the Dragons when you sort of just start to turn that leaf and then a star player like that does go. But we have been saying for such a long time that the Eels obviously lack that depth in the centre spot. But he's such a great utility. They also get a great player that can potentially replace Gutho at fullback as well, due if he ends up coming out injured. So he's very versatile. And I think depending on what side he ends up playing on, or if he ends up sticking on the wing, what they do with him, I think the Eels have really, they've moved from that sort of, not middle tier, but that sort of, that top point in the middle tier, I think, to potentially a very, very good contender next year when you start looking at partnering up with Will Penasini, and you've got the likes of Sevo, if he can start to sort his form out. You've got Mitch Moses, Dylan Brown, Gutho, Junior Polo, Regan Campbell-Gillard. Like, they are star-studded right now, so it is a fantastic move from them. But yeah, look, the Dragons,
How do you reckon he'd go as a fullback? Do you reckon he has potential in that position? He seems good for a high ball, like a competing high ball on the wing, but do you think he'd be a good fullback?
I think he would. I think it does seem a little bit erratic at times. I think you'd almost, we just spoke about Joey Manu at fullback, and I almost think you could compare him to Joey Manu to a degree in terms of his finishing ability out on those edges and stuff. But I mean, that flick pass, he's got it in him. He's got a whole heap of razzle. So yeah, it would be very interesting. I've seen when the Eels listed it, there was a lot of guys in the comments talking about Gutho moving to the centres and Lomax moving to fullback. So I'm not too sure what's going to go on there, but I do think he will be in at that centre position. Now, one more before we get into the power plays of the round. On the weekend, we had UFC 300, which featured the BMF title fight between Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway. Absolutely crazy fight. And this is the reason why I'm bringing it up to you, Jordan, is I want to know who you think is the BMF of the NRL, or who would you like to see in a BMF NRL title fight?
Ooh, that is a great question, because man, there are some bad motherfuckers in the NRL. I sort of had to come up with a couple of categories that define what a bad motherfucker is in the NRL. And I would think it has to come down to big hitter, strong carrier, especially off the back fence. It's most likely going to be a forward in my eyes. And also a little bit of edge to their game. Like someone who's not afraid of niggle. Someone who, you know, kind of pushes the boundaries and gets into a bit of handbags every now and then. So I will eliminate one guy that first came to mind that I consider a bad motherfucker because of the way he plays under pressure and the way he can take over a game and what he's shown in really high pressure situations. And that was Nathan Cleary. I did have him in contention.
Interesting.
But there was also guys like Victor Radley and Justin Olam that I had in contention, but they didn't quite fit the size requirements and maybe a bit of edge on Justin Olam's half. And then I came down to probably my favorite final four of the BMS. I had Hamole Olakau'atu, James Fisher-Harris, Aiden Fanua-Blake, and Payne Haas. Those two made my final for the cut for BMF. And I'm thinking, just because I'm also biased, I'm a Warriors guy, he's big and strong, carries hard as, he's super fit, so he's always doing it through big minutes during the game. He's a strong hitter, a solid defender. He just looks like a bit of a gangster. He looks like a Comanchero with all the tattoos and the stingray on top and stuff like that. I think the baddest motherfucker in the competition is Aiden Fanua-Blake. I think he fits the bill the best for me.
I like it. I like where you're going with that. I did think when you started rattling off Nathan Cleary, I thought surely we're going to get to the big bobbers here, but you ended up having them in the Elite Four. Now, Aiden Fanua-Blake, let's say he's holding the belt currently. Who are you putting up to fight him in a title match?
Oh, man. We wouldn't want to put him up against like a Nathan Cleary because that wouldn't be very fair. But I think out of those four, I would like to see him most in the ring against James Fisher-Harris. I think they're just two of the scariest looking dudes. Them against each other would just sell itself because of the pure, you know, scary versus scary, badass versus badass. And both pretty similar in size, so it's a good even matchup. I don't know who wins, honestly. They're both tough as fuck, so Yeah, that is my PMF matchup that I'm making for the NRL.
I like it. Now I'm going to touch on my one here, and I'm glad that you picked up one of them, because I would have had James Fisher-Harris in the title fight. And the other guy that I'm going to put in there is a good Kiwi bloke as well, and that is JWH. I think that guy is the baddest motherfucker in the NRL right now. Mr. 300, he's been pounding it in the league year in, year out, seasoned veteran. He doesn't give a fuck who you are, what you're doing, what size you are. He's going to come and take your head off. That's my BMF of the NRL, and that's who I would like to see in a title fight. The two Kiwi boys, James Fisher-Harris, JWH. We've got a whole heap of the JWH versus the JFH. It would be it'd sell out. But yeah, that's my BMF. So yeah, let us know in the comments who you think yours would be, because it was an interesting one when I was thinking. I wouldn't mind seeing it. We've got all these NRL charity fights and stuff like that. Let's bring out a BMF title fight as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you what. I was mentioning Edge before. There is probably no one in the NRL with more Edge now than ever than Jared Warrior-Hargraves. He is – sometimes people call him a grub. That's how much Edge he has. And he doesn't back down to anyone in terms of physicality and confrontation. So that is a really good one. I just had him in a separate category with Felice Kaufusi for like maybe a little too old. That's why I didn't put him in there. But no, I'll allow it, bro, because he is a bad motherfucker.
Felice, you know exactly what you're getting. He'd go in there and bang as well. Those guys have their own kind of category. Now we move into the power play of the round, brought to you by TBC Live. Like we say every week, go and download the app. They are pretty much giving away free money. If you can predict, if you can banter with your mates, jump on the app. If you're doing nothing, you're just sitting there with a cold one watching the game, every now and then flick on, make a prediction and jump in on it, because there is money up for grabs. But my power play of the round this week is Xavier Coates. Now you may think we're doing a little retake here from a couple of weeks ago, but he had the kick-through try assist for Remus Smith just a few weeks ago, like I was saying before. He had one of the most outrageous finishes we have ever seen. And then just a few weeks later, he comes through with an absolute ridiculous try assist. He was being dragged into touch. He still managed to keep the body control and put a calculated kick through. It was a Hail Mary in a way, but it was calculated enough that he knew where he was going to put it in the space. Remus Smith crashes over. It's just fantastic what these wingers are doing. We touched on Zach Lomax, I mean, earlier. Just the skill that these guys, not just the finishing ability, but what they're coming up with in the air and these freakish plays at the moment. Xavier Coates, absolutely fantastic. That's my power play of the round.
Yeah, that was pretty special what he did, because like you said, it was not a fluke. He dropped it onto his foot. Maybe the touch was a bit fluky because he put it perfectly into the end goal and they dived on it to score the try, but nah, man. Great heads-up play from Xavier Coates. He has been in sensational form, bro. He is actually one of the best wingers in this competition. I don't really like Remus Smith as a player, and he struggled to release him in this game as well. But I think if you put him with a better center, he might be the best winger in this competition, because I think he's probably the best athlete in the competition as well, with some of the abilities he's shown to jump for tries against the Warriors like that game winner, and then to, you know, completely moss people when they're going for corner kicks on him. So Xavier Coates is an outstanding form, and he is a great athlete. My power play of the week this week is Ethan Strange, line break to set up the Fogarty game-winning field goal. You touched on it a little bit earlier, but second golden point overtime, 20-meter restart in their own half, less than a minute to go. He gets the ball, and he kind of just skins some tired defenders on the outside, makes it 50 meters up the field. Time's still clicking down, and he put them in a perfect position to get Fogarty the opportunity to hit that field goal and nail it pretty much on the buzzer. It was pretty much a buzzer-beating game winner to avoid a draw like the Seagulls in the Warriors game. So Ethan Strange, that was a big dog play in a pressure situation. No doubt he was probably really tired, still had the energy to – well, he's a young guy, so you'd kind of hope he'd still have the energy, but still had the energy to make that play and get them the win, pretty much. So shout out Ethan Strange and shout out Fogarty for nailing it.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, eh? When we're leading into the season, you got Ethan Strange and you got KO Weeks, and we still weren't sure who was actually going to be that starting 5'8", and they gave it to Strange in week one. He's become one of the form 5'8s in the comp at the moment. Each week he seems to get better and better and he grows in confidence. He's got a left foot of doom on him. He shows a lot of strength for a little fella out on that edge there, and he's just playing with a whole heap of confidence. When you've got a dude that's played his, he's playing his sixth NRL game, we're in Golden Point, and he just puts it on his back and thinks, I'm going to take that edge here and I'm going to turn this game on its head. It's pretty crazy what he's doing, and he's leading from the front out there in Canberra, so that's fantastic. Moving into the performances of the round, we do highlight statistical performances a lot of the time. Lomax, like we said earlier, he was huge this round. Tapani was fantastic. Manu, he went bonkers with his feet. DCE was incredible. But for me this week, I'm going back to the green machine, and I'm going with the young Chevy Stewart. There are no real stats in this one. All he had was the 205 run meters off 22 carries. I say 205 run meters like that's all he had. He's an 18-year-old making his NRL debut. The new youngest Raider taking over Nick Kotrick to make his first grade debut. I was just sitting there the whole game watching, thinking there is no way that this dude is actually 18. He looked comfortable in the NRL. For his debut, he looked comfortable under the high ball, he looked comfortable returning the ball, and he was going out and he was looking for work as well. And we said it last week, it might be a blessing in disguise for the Raiders with this Rapana injury over the next couple of weeks, because if he can start to find some form like his young friend and Ethan Strange out on the left edge there, the Raiders, man, look out for them. They've got some youth coming through, but yeah, one to watch, and they're calling him Mr. Chevrolet.
Ooh, I like that. He looks like he's got a bit of speed like a Chevrolet. Yeah, man. He didn't do too much in terms of like eye-popping stuff, but I fully agree, man. He looked really confident, really composed, was good under the high ball, was safe enough. He also, there was a little bit of a niggle and he didn't back down for an 18-year-old. You love to see that, a little bit of pride in himself and pride in the jersey. So, man, Chevy Stewart, another one for the future for the Raiders. They're looking good. They look like they're churning out some young talent at the moment. So, shout out them. And we go from, you know, the future to right now for us. And I'm going to back a guy in a drawn effort. I usually like to highlight guys in winning efforts, but I thought this guy was outstanding. And he's kind of been overshadowed for his run meters and what he did in this game because of how good Joey Manu did breaking the record and doing 347 run meters. But this guy, Charles Nickel Klokstad, he was only one run meter off Manu, who set the record early in the week. He had 346 run meters himself, and this is only his second game back from injury, and he is already looking like he's not missed a beat and putting his hand up for a lot of work. So 346 run meters, one line break, 8 tackle breaks, no missed tackles this week, which you like to see because last week he had a bit of a shocker. But, man, he has come in, and Taupiki and RTS are good, but neither have the work rate of CNK, who is constantly putting his hand up for carries and is always testing and threatening the ruck and always trying to look for block hole runs and stuff like that. And he's looking quite strong in the contact and hard to handle because those eight tackle breaks were not just like people grabbing their arms out and slipping off them because they weren't quite in position. Now, he was kind of shrugging them off and breaking the tackles with his hips and with his shoulders. He was looking very strong in contact. He always returns kicks with full intensity as well, so Latrell takes some notes on CNK. And, you know, when he enters the shape of the Warriors, he links a little bit better than RTS and Taupiki as well. I think he links with his outside, and it looks to flow a little bit better when CNK is the fullback of the team. It didn't really in this game because the Warriors made a lot of errors, and it was kind of under pressure from a good Sea Eagles defense. But in other games I've seen CNK in, he does add a little bit more pop to that shape. So CNK was super impressive, and I think he kind of got overshadowed from his performance because they didn't win, they got the draw, and because Joey Manu did what he did. So shout out CNK.
I agree. He's kind of just that warrior that's flying under the radar in a little in a way of itself at the moment. I mean, there was so much noise around RTS at the beginning of the season, and Chance has just come straight back in, slotted into his role perfectly, and we can see exactly what he's going to do this year. It's just a workhorse. He's going to get the meters up. He's going to return with some venom, and then, like you said, he's just so silky out the back. I mean, the week before last, we just saw him carve it up through the middle against the Bunnies, so he can do it from anywhere. So shout out to CNK. Now we're going to move into the Dally M lad contention. So This week, collecting 3 weeks, it's been harped on everywhere. It is Joey Manu, 347 run metres, one try assist, 11 tackle breaks, and one offload. I was pretty keen to dock a point for the rugby union stat that came in today, maybe dropping down a little bit on that one. But absolutely fantastic performance from him to slot into the back there and put up that kind of performance. Collecting 2 points, Joey Tarpany. He finished with two offloads, two tackle breaks, 32 tackles, but he led the game in run meters with 302. You can see it as soon as that man comes off the field, the game just shifts for the Raiders. He's just a spiritual leader for them. He's quiet, he gets through his work, but he's just so impressive. And collecting 1 point, he's one of the informed players in the competition right now. That is Zach Lomax. One try assist, three tackle breaks, two offloads, and 139 run meters. If he wasn't in this Dragons team right now, they'd be having no light shine on them at the moment. He's been absolutely fantastic. And moving in to the grub of the week, Jordan, do you want to take us away?
Yeah, pretty clean week, to be honest. It was quite hard to find a grub of the week, so I've kind of gone with a Lifetime Achievement Award for Grub of the Week. He did do a dirty play, so that's why he will be nominated this week. It is David Clemmer. He is a notorious grub. He has been, since bald David Clemmer, all through the years to now veteran status now at the Tigers, where he has kind of cleaned up his act, but there's still glimpses there. But on the weekend, he did a bit of a high shot to Kyle Flanagan, sort of rose up. Kyle Flanagan is a bit of like a innocent boy-looking sort of guy as well, so it makes the edge a little bit worse. Hits him right in the head, gets put on report. Seems a bit apologetic for it, so that's why I don't want to be too critical of David Clemmer, but it's kind of like a, you had to be on there sooner or later. It was a pretty weak week of grubs, so you're on it for what you've done in the past. It's kind of like Draymond getting technicals and booted out of the game based on his reputation. This is why your grub of the week, David Clemmer. Bad high tackle.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. Kyle Flanagan has just seen this young half turn his hips, come in, screw at the line. He's just thought, sweet, I'm going to whack him right now. But like any good red-headed front row, he gets it all wrong. Grubby move, taking out a half like that. Could have ended quite wrong. We had a couple in contention for this one. If you haven't seen the highlights of it yet, please go and watch the Dez Hasler and Ricky Stewart interview after the game, where Dez Hasler absolutely rips them out on the refereeing and Ricky Stewart comes in and asks him what planet he's even from. Absolutely funny. Very, very funny what was going on between the two of them. I can't wait for the Titans and the Raiders to match up again. If we're doing a BMF title fight, I want to see those guys jump in the ring and start swinging at each other.
Fight. Oldest motherfuckers.
Who would win, just out of curiosity?
Oh, man. They're both firecrackers. Both super angry dudes.
I reckon Ricky's clever. Ricky is real clever. He'll lead Dez into something and he'll bring him off one way and then he'll catch him back where he doesn't know it the other way.
Yeah, I like that take. I like that take. I'd have to check who's younger out of the two because that'll be the ultimate deciding factor for me, but yeah, whatever the case, they're both going to be swinging for the fences. They're going to be those last 10 seconds of the Dustin Gaethje Max Holloway fight from the very get-go. Yeah, come here, mate, come here.
They'll both be saying it to each other, but none of them want to fight first. I'd take Sticky Ricky in that one. But we move into the preview. It is round 7. I saw it came up before. It's 50 days until Origin. That train just keeps chugging along. All of these odds are accurate as of Tuesday at 6 p.m. And kicking it off, we have the Roosters taking on the Storm at Allianz Stadium. The Roosters are $1.87 favourites. The Storm are $1.95 underdogs, with the line sitting at 1.5. Via tipping comps, absolute doozy to kick it off with. The Storm, Big Nelson returns for them. He will move into the starting lineup and he'll play prop, coming in for the injured Tui Kamakamitha. For the Roosters, Tedesco, he returns from concussion. Manu shifts back to the centres and Suoliti back to the wings. Walker has been listed amongst reserves as he looks to return or make his return. Be interesting to see what happens in this one. Maybe if it was later in the week, we might see it, but being on that Thursday night, not too sure. The Storm, they come into this one with a 4-5 record, and the Roosters come into it with a 3-6 record. The Storm have a 42% win rate here, while the Chooks have a 64% win rate. The Storm have won 8 of their last 9 games, though, against the Roosters. They've looked really, really good to begin the season. I think Nelson coming back in for them is a big up. Whether the fitness levels will be there for him to bang in the middle for that long, I'm not too sure. But I am going to back the Storm, and I'm going to trust the spine in this one.
Yeah, the NRL do it again with another very tricky Thursday game. Yeah, the Storm have won the last 2 games they played last year, including that prelim final, 18-13, and then a thriller, which they won in Sydney. Oh, no, sorry, the prelim final was the thriller. They won in Sydney 30-16. That's not so much of a thriller. That's 13-plus. But, Nair, the Storm, it seems like every week we're saying they're full strength and then they get someone else back. So they're getting fuller and fuller strength, and this is probably the fullest of strengths that they're at with Nelson Asola. Sofa Solomona coming back.
It's a big Whereas man to Roosters, fill out the squad.
Yeah, yeah, he's yeah over full. the Roosters are missing physicality in their forwards with Lenu and now Tupanoa, but I'm kind of reaching with that take because they're still strong as fuck in the forwards. But a key player that they are missing that you mentioned might jump into the team, but I don't think so being Thursday, like you said, is Sam Walker. Watson is not as offensively gifted. He's a good player. He tries hard and, you know, he's all effort, but Sam Walker's just got that little bit crispiness on attack and a little bit more enterprise. So that is something that they will be missing in this contest, especially against sometimes good Storm defense. They haven't looked perfect, but they've still got a great record, including wins over the Broncos, Warriors, Panthers, and Bulldogs, whereas the Roosters have dropped to similar opponents in the Panthers and the Bulldogs. So I see this being a close game, and Storm have a knack of winning close games this year, with all their wins being by less than 10 points and at a 4-point per game average. So I am going to back the Storm to win 1-12 at $2.88.
Nice. First game off the rank. You've handed me your hand. We're going to hold it together, and we got the first tip off together. My best bet for this game, we mentioned him before, he's one of the informed wingers in the comp. He has scored 7 tries in his last 3 games against the Roosters. I'm going to partner that up with the Storm to win, and that's going to give you some juicy $4 odds, and that is Xavier Coates. The Dragons, they take on the Warriors at Wynn Stadium. The Warriors are $1.54 favourites. The Dragons are $2.50 underdogs, and the line is at 5.5. No real changes here for the Wires. Pompey moves into the reserves to replace Tavanga, who's out with a hamstring injury. For the Dragons, though, Lomax is going to shift back into the centre position for the injured Jack Bird. This will be the 37th meeting between these two teams, the Dragons having won 24 and the Warriors having won 12. Now, we talked about our old friend Dudu just a few weeks ago when Manly played the Dragons here. Well, Jordan, Dudu is back. The Warriors, they have a 2-13 record at Wynn Stadium, but the last time that these two... But they have won the last 2 recent meetings against the Dragons. And the last time that they played them here, they ended up winning 48-18. I think they are going to say no to Dudu on this one, and they're going to get the win.
Okay. And obviously I'm wearing the Warriors jersey, so I have to agree with that. But yeah, is Wynn Stadium that one on the beach, that quite new stadium?
Yeah, quite often you'll see the seagulls sometimes come in and start nesting in the in-goal.
Yeah, okay. So that stadium being quite new, the Warriors before, you know, this last 2 years were pretty shit. So I'm not going to look too much into that record, and I'm going to hang my hat on that 48-18 win. And, you know, the starting lineup looks pretty much at full strength. It is a slightly thin bench due to injuries to Tavanga and Niokore and stuff like that. But the Dragons also are down Jack Bird and Luciano Leilua, who I've been singing the praises of him. And it seems like they've mixed their squad up and they've chucked all their stalwarts on the bench as well. So interesting tactics there by Flanagan. The Warriors didn't play well last week and they made a lot of errors and didn't start with the same intensity that we've been used to them recently. But they still showed resilience to take it to gain up Golden Point and escape with the draw. Whereas the Dragons do have similar potential to the Seagulls. Like, they have a lot of talented players with X Factor, like your Ben Hunts, like your Zach Lomaxes, like your Moses Sulis. And they can capitalize if given the same opportunities. But I don't see this Warriors team playing that bad in back-to-back weeks. And we're seeing that a team that gets into an attacking rhythm, which I think the Warriors will bounce back and do here, we see that teams that can get into attacking rhythms can blow the doors off the Dragons. 38-0 to the Dolphins, 46-26 to the Cowboys, 30-10 to the Knights in monsoon weather as well. So you're conceding 30 in the rain. So I'm going to trust the Warriors. I'm going to say they cover that line, -5.5 at $1.87. I didn't want to go 13-plus because I'm a coward, and also the Dragons are just a kind of a scary team, honestly. Like, they're bad, but they're still scary. So I'll take the Warriors at the -5.5 line.
Well, you can lay your trust in me, listeners. I'm not a coward. Dallin Watene-Zelezniak, he scored 4 tries the last time that they played them here. I'm not going for 1 in this one. I'm going for 2 and the Warriors to win by 13-plus at $5.50. Mad Dragon, eat your heart out, mate. They're coming for you. The Eels, they play the Dolphins at TIO Stadium. The Eels are $1.44 favourites in this one. The Dolphins are $2.80 underdogs with the line sitting at 6.5. For the Eels, Blaze Taulagi, he's going to make his return, but he's going to come off the bench in this one. Sevo also remains on the reserves list after playing New South Wales Cup on the weekend, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with that Eels squad, whether they shake it up a little bit more come kickoff. As for the Dolphins, Trey Fuller, he's going to come in to replace the hammer at fullback. Max Plath, he returns from suspension, which sees Ray Stone move to the interchange. I kind of thought we might have seen, who's the centre that came from the Bulldogs? I forget his name. Jake Averillo. I wasn't sure if we'd see him at fullback. I like the flair that he brings to the team. And he did a few handy jobs for the Dogs at fullback. It was interesting when I saw Trey Fuller come in as a replacement there. So yeah, big first up shift for him in this one. One meeting between these two sides, the Eels won that 48-20. It's a very different season for both teams this year, though, and the Hammer is obviously a massive out for the Finns. I think the Eels are going to win this one. They're going to bounce back nicely after the last couple of weeks. We saw a close one over the Cows, which was very impressive. A win is a win, and I think they'll take the Finns in this one.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think the Eels have got it. They did beat an injury-depleted Dolphins team in that last game that you mentioned, 48-20, and the Dolphins are once again kind of injury-depleted. So it kind of matches up. And that game was in a weird location in the Sunshine Coast, where this game is in Darwin. So it's kind of lining up for an Eels repeat of what happened last year. The teams were very similar as well in terms of the squads, but this time both teams are missing their stars in Moses and the Hammer. And the Eels look the best they have since Moses going down with the inclusion of Arcee, whereas the Dolphins completely fell to bits once Hammer got injured and let in 4 tries in the first 20 minutes of the second half. And I know it's hard to rebound mid-game when a back goes out, but it still was a very, you know, questionable sign because of how much of an impact Hammer has on their offense and what it looked like after he went out. So not good look there for the Dolphins. I don't think they'll win by as much as they did last time without Moses, but I think they'll still beat them comfortably in clear and hot conditions in Darwin. Offloads should stick, so I am going to back the Eels to cover the -6.5 line at $1.90.
Yeah, tasty. My best bet for this game, the Eels' left edge has looked very shaky defensively. The Dolphins haven't managed to get that right side firing as of late, though, but I am going to back Jermaine Asako here to cross over in this one. And I'm going to partner that up. I'm going with my old tricks in this one with the Eels to win. That'll get you $3.40 odds. Quite like to partner up a try scorer for the team that I'm not backing to win, and then it'll juice up your odds just a little bit more. Now, the Panthers, they take on the Tigers at Carrington Park. The Panthers, like you think, coming into this, $1.17 favourites. The Tigers are whopping $5 underdogs with the line sitting at 14.5. They've just gone over that 13-plus for all you punters. The Panthers, Schneider, he remains at halfback while Cleary's still sidelined. Sorensen, he returns from injury here in this one for them, though, which is a big in. And for the Tigers, the biggest in of the lot, Lachlan Galvin, he returns from suspension to 5'8". He will be partnered by Caesar again, and it sees Bud Sullivan completely dropped out for this one. Finu has moved into the 14th spot for them. The Tigers are one from one here at Carrington Park. The Panthers have a 56% win rate. The last 4 meetings between these two have been split with 2 wins each. So if there's a bogey team, the Tigers are the bogey team, and they pip them here as well. I think, though, the Panthers, they'll win this one. They're coming off a bye in this one, Obviously, there's no Nathan Cleary for them, which is obviously a huge loss. Schneider's proved that he can do a jobby on teams and he can lead them around the park. I think they will play the system well, and I think Penrith will put a big one on them.
Yeah. I'm not using history to make my arguments in this one because I am picking the Panthers as well. But like you said, it's real split between these two and some weird results lately. But, you know, besides the questionably rigged game against the Sea Eagles and losing to the Storm in round one, who are unbeatable in round one and unbeatable at home pretty much at the moment, the Panthers have looked really good and they've got some good results. They still have no Cleary, but Schneider has been great, and they still beat the Broncos, who have looked absolutely amazing, and the Roosters without Cleary. So the Panthers are still a solid team without their Dally M level half. The Tigers did beat them last time in Bathurst, but it was torrential rain, if you remember, and now it's meant to be clear conditions, and the Panthers will be out for revenge. I think it might be a bad thing that the Tigers actually beat them last time, especially against a hungry Panthers team who hasn't quite looked like their premiership level selves to start this season. They have had shown that at moments, but you know, they lost to the Sea Eagles last week. They've lost to the Storm. They want to make a statement against these Tigers. If the line was crazier, the degenerate in me would probably take it, because the Tigers, with Galvin returning and the improved performances that they've shown this year, it is tempting because of the history, but it just sits on that 13 plus mark where I think it's possible the Panthers can match that or go over. So I am going to go Panthers 13 plus at $1.83.
Yeah, I like it. My best bet for this one, Sunia Taruva, he's been absolutely firing this season. I backed DWZ up for two before. I'm going to back Taruva in here to get two as well. And I'm going to take the Panthers at a -8.5. That line is way too big for me. I'm not quite full degenerate on that one, so I'm going to scale it back a little bit. And that'll give you $4 odds. Now the Titans, they take on Manly at Cbus Super Stadium. Manly are $1.35 favourites in this. The Titans are $3.25 underdogs, with the line sitting at 8.5. For Manly, man, sit down, buckle up. Matt Lodge returns, Ruben Garrick returns, Nathan Brown returns, and Jason Saab returns. Ben Turbo has been ruled out with a hamstring injury, unfortunately. Now for the Titans, probably the weirdest selection of the lot. Jaden Campbell hasn't been named due to injury, which sees Philip Sami move to fullback to replace him. Brimo will remain in the halves. Here we go for me. These ones always crack me up. The Titans, this is their home game. They have a 44% win rate here at home. Manly, this is the away team. They have a 64% win rate here on the Gold Coast. The Titans have won their last two games against Manly, but for me, Manly win this. Manly win it very comfortably.
This game is weird. Capital W, weird, because I really don't mind the idea of a Titans upset, but it is coming at a real weird time because we've just seen the Seagulls play one of the best performances of the year, where they showed great intensity on defense and attack through the forwards and showed resiliency to hold on for the draw against a surging Warriors. So, I mean, the Titans, though, on the other hand, they had their best performance of the year as well, nearly beating a strong Raiders team with, you know, attacking signs from Brimson, Kelly, Calm Pereira, steered well by Foran around the field. Great effort on defense to stay in the fight despite heavy territory from the Raiders. And like you said, they have beaten the Sea Eagles the last two times, 26-10 and 44-24 in their last game at Cbus as well, which are pretty comfortable scores. Those are both 13-plus margins. I'll preface before I get to my best bet that I am going to be taking the Sea Eagles on all of the tipping competitions and the picks like that. I'm taking the Sea Eagles head-to-head. But, you know, the Seagulls are still inconsistent and they have shown they can back up a great performance with a poor one. Des Hasler is the coach of the Titans and he would have coached a lot of these Manly Seagulls players before. He will know how to work out a game plan for the strengths of like Turbo and Daly Cherry Evans to mitigate those guys' strengths. So the pick is the Seagulls, but I'm going to take a shot with the Titans line at +8.5 at $1.87 because there's a lot of factors that go towards the Titans, and I know the Seagulls have looked better, but I like the underdog chances here.
Nice. I hear where you're coming from, mate. I hear what you're coming from, but I strongly disagree with you. Try scorers are spread out everywhere in this from previous meetings, so it's hard to put a finger on it. But I'm not sure if it's my head or my heart talking in this one. I think there's going to be a hell of a lot of try scorers in this one. A couple of weeks ago, I did a big three. We're coming back in on this one again. I've got Tommy Turbo, Tolu Kola, Hamole Olakuatu, all anytime try scorers into Manly 13 plus at $26 odds. Yes, you heard that right. Tommy Turbo, Tolu Kola, Hamole Olakuatu, all try scoring machines this season into Manly 13 plus, $26 on the nose. Put your bickies on that one. The Broncos take on the Raiders at Suncorp Stadium. The Broncos are $1.40 underdogs. The Raiders are, favourites. The Raiders are $3 underdogs coming into this, and the line is at 8.5. The Broncos, they have an unchanged squad here. Still no Reynolds, still no Payne Haas. The Raiders, though, Zach Hosking is out, which sees Mariota replace him on that edge. The Raiders at Suncorp have a 29% win rate. They've won 20. They've won 6 of their 21 games here. They have, however, won 4 of their last 6 games against the Broncos and won their last, their most recent meeting here as well. I kind of hate these games. I'm leaning towards the Raiders in this one with no Reno, coming off the result that they just had against the Titans. I think Ricky Stewart, they'll be copping it from him. They'll be a bit disappointed into letting the Titans back into that one. They've looked very consistent this year. And they're coming up against the juggernaut of a team. I think they'll want to take a scalp here, and I'm going to take a shot, and I'm going to go Raiders.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. But, yeah, I'm going to stick with the Broncos. They did win the last meeting 29-18, and they still have looked extremely dangerous despite the key injuries that they have at the moment in Haas and Reynolds, averaging over 33 points per game in their last 3. So they've still been ticking along nicely on attack, and they handled a Dolphins team that is probably a slightly worse version of the Raiders we see, with a solidish forward pack and young attacking flair in the backs. The Raiders are like a tick up from that. It was kind of, wasn't a full blowout from the Broncos, so I can see why you would think the Raiders could maybe cover that gap. But I remember the Sharks were able to cut up the young Raiders on the edges, and I can see the Broncos with their flat skip ball style, pushing passes from long range and getting some opportunities there. So I'm going to stick with the Broncos. Their back 5 are also strong athletes as well, so they should be able to get yardage and negate the kicking ability of Fogarty. So I am going to stick with the Broncos to cover the minus 6.5 line at $1.90. I think Reece Walsh can maybe put on a little bit of a show at Suncorp, and I'm going to stay with the Broncos to get this job done.
Nice. I like it. My best bet for this one, Salwyn Cobbo, he's scored 5 tries in the last 3 games against the Raiders. Again, he's on that right wing spot. You're going to have to play some eyes up footy here. I've gone Jesse Arthurs, but I've seen Dean Mariner maybe a smoky to return in this one. So you're going to have to be on your toes. I'm going to take Jesse Arthurs into the Raiders at a plus 10.5 at $4 in that one. Now the Bulldogs, they take on the Knights at a Accor Stadium. The Knights are $1.82 favourites in this. The Bulldogs are $2 underdogs with the line sitting at 1.5. The Bulldogs, Connor Tracy, he's named at fullback in this one, looked absolutely fantastic for them. I think he will be that fullback moving forward. Blake Taff has been included on the bench, but it'll be interesting to see if they end up going back to him or sort of, yeah, Connor Tracy's going to have a shocker to give up that spot. The Knights, though, unchanged here. Ponga has been named despite playing through injury last week. Both teams have 50% win rates at this ground. The Knights have won 5 of their last 6 games against the Bulldogs, and the last 2 games have been a margin of 108 points to 6. Very, very different teams this year. The Bulldogs have that dog in them. It's in the name. I think they get the win here in this one, Jordan. I really like what I've seen from them. I think they're going to put together a bit more of a complete performance against a bit of a more depleted side.
Yeah. This is another toughish game to pick because I do like what the Bulldogs have shown. They, like you said, they got absolutely destroyed by the Knights last year, but like you also said, very different team with some major signings in the offseason and seem to be playing with some great confidence in the last couple of weeks. But I do look at them and they still make a lot of errors. They still give away silly penalties and they're still a very momentum team, scoring points in big swings and big bunches, but then they go cold for like a whole half. Like they scored, 26-0 against the Roosters in the first half and then like 1 try in the second half.
Yeah.
Against the Storm, they were down 10-0, I think, and then they came back 14 points straight, but then eventually lost 16-14. So they can score these points in bunches, but then get cold really quickly. I trust the Knights as a more consistent team that will be able to build pressure and score points a little bit more consistently than the Bulldogs over the course of 80 minutes. So despite their mixed results, I do think they have looked good enough to be able to beat a Bulldogs team. I am going to stick with the Knights here, but in a close game. I'm not going to base my opinion off the results last year where it was 66-0 and 42-6. I am going to say that the Knights get it done 1-12 at $3.
I like it. Now, for me, best bet in this game, Bonzincheri, the Fox, they looked fantastic out on that edge last weekend. I'm going to book the Fox in for another one here, and I'm going to partner that up with the Bulldogs to win at $3.25. The Sharkies, they take on the Cowboys at PointsBet Stadium. Absolute doozy to end it on. I feel like this is going to be a very free-flowing game. The Sharks are $1.65 favourites in this one. The Cowboys, they are $2.25 underdogs, and the line is at 3.5. For the Sharkies, Katoa is out. He's serving a one-game suspension, which sees Sam Stonestreet make his NRL debut. And the Cowboys, Valame is going to be coming into the wing to replace Taulagi. So we've got some veterans on one wing, Katoa and Fout, and we've got some newbies. Valame is obviously not a newbie, but we've got some fresh meat coming in on the other side. So moving to the prediction. The Cowboys, they have a 30% win rate at PointsBet Stadium. The Sharks have to have a 58%. The Sharks have won 10 of their last 11 games against the Cowboys. I'm going against it here. I think the Cowboys win this. I want to see some fight from them, and I want to see some resilience. And I've been harping on about this being a different Cowboys team this year. If we take you back just a couple of weeks ago, you said, I'm going to back Fins up one last time here. I'm going to go Cowboys one last time here. Show me against a quality opposition. If you can get it done, I'm going to back them.
Yeah, I love a good ultimatum. I love it because after dropping that game to the Eels, they kind of deserve an ultimatum because they should have not dropped that game against the Moses-less Eels. I know the Eels are kind of good, but that was there for the taking for them. I am not going to back them, unfortunately. I think the Sharks kind of have the stick on the Cowboys, and they've looked really good this year. So the last two times they played, they actually dominated the Cowboys, 32-12, and then 44-6 at PointsBet, which marries into your 33% win rate for the Cowboys at PointsBet as well. I do like both these teams on attack. They are very similar teams in attack because they try to chance it from everywhere. The Sharks try to work blindsides out of their own half, and then they're very deadly in the strike zone, whereas the Cowboys like to shift early in the count, and Dearden and Drinky attack the line and threaten with show and goes all the time. So it is going to be a very entertaining game. It's kind of true to form that they have a real tricky game to pick on a Thursday and then a real entertaining game to finish it off on a Sunday. So NRL know what they're doing with the scheduling. But I like the Sharks as a more complete team than the Cowboys, though, because they've shown a little bit more effort on defense, whereas the Cowboys are still a little bit questionable in their ability to stop yardage. And they're giving teams a lot of opportunities to score points. And teams do score a lot of points on the Cowboys, whether they... because even when they're winning, it seems like the other team's still scoring like 26 points, 22 points. So it concerns me about the Cowboys. It's clear and cool conditions. I can see both teams running up the score, but I'm going to back the Sharks and definitely a comfortable-ish win because I'm going to say they win -6.5 at $2.20. I've extended the line from the close one at 2.5. And I'm actually going to take the total points over 44.5 at $1.83. I haven't learned from my mistake last week. I'm going high scoring again, coupling those up and having a chance because I think it's going to be an entertaining game. Surely it is this week.
Yeah, Jordan, I love it. I'm laughing here in the corner because it's exactly what I've done here. My best bet for this game, Ronaldo Mulitalo has been one of the form wingers in the comp. I think the Sharkies are going to go down that left edge. Kyle Fout loves a jam. And then we're looking at Semi Valame out on that left edge for the Cowboys. I think they're going to pepper the young rookie coming in on his NRL debut. Val Holmes has been fantastic. Like you said, that little strawberry blonde thing for the Cowboys has been running around there throwing a dummy left, right and center and doing all of these weird erratic things. You just see this highlighter neon thing floating around everywhere. So I'm going to take those two to score tries and I'm going to partner that up with you here on the total points over. I've scaled it back a little bit into 40.5. I agree with you. Both of these tries love to score teams love to score points. They both hate to defend. I think it's going to be high scoring. It's going to be free flowing. And we're going to sit here and we're going to review it come next week. And it's going to be 18-12 or something like that. But my best bet for this game is Ronaldo Mulitalo into Semi Valame. Total points over 40.5. And that will get you $4.75 odds. Now we're going to move into the best bets. List off everything before we go into our repeat sets in our 40-20s. So I've taken Xavier Coates into the Storm win at $4 there. DWZ, 2 plus pies. Waz, 13 plus, $5.50. Jermaine Asako partnered up with the Eels to win at $3.40 there. Sunia Taruva, 2 plus. Panthers, minus 8.5 at $4. Big three. Tommy Turbo, Tolu Kola, Hamoliola Kawadu, Manly, Bird Gang, 13 plus, $26 odds. Jesse Arthurs, Raiders, plus 8.5 at $4. Josh Adokar into the Bulldogs to win at $3.25. And Ronaldo Mulitalo, Semi Valame, total points over at 40.5. That'll be $4.75. Jordan, what were your best bets, mate?
Yeah, we've got Storm, 1-12 to kick off the week at $2.88. The Warriors getting it done against the Dragons, minus 5.5 at $1.87. The Eels to cover a minus 6.5 line at $1.90. Panthers 13 plus at $1.83 up in Bathurst. Titans plus 8.5 to cover the line, $1.87. Broncos minus 6.5 at $1.90. Knights 1-12 at $3 in a close one against the Bulldogs. And then finally, the Sharks to cover an extended minus 6.5 line at $2.20. Coupled that up with total points over 44.5 at $1.83.
Tasty. Now we move into the repeat set bets. This is Jordan's bread and butter here. We fell short last week, but you've been an absolute lock to start the season. And what I've done is I've taken a little leaf out of your book, and I've taken a bit of your jersey and I've put it onto me, and I'm going to that Warriors game. I'm going to go Dallin just for one here into the Warriors just to win at $2.30. Lock that one up. I think it's safe as houses.
And here's your hand coming across here, and there's my hand grabbing it, because I am backing the Waz. I know I said last week, when you back the Waz, good things happen. But I got a little greedy. I took the line at minus 5.5. I am scaling it down a little bit this week just to get back on track. I am just going Warriors, who are a decent value considering they're playing the Dragons, just head-to-head at $1.52. Up the Waz. Hopefully they get me back in the repeat sets. We need a grubber to build some pressure, man.
I like it. Now we move into the 40-20s. We're looking for big, juicy odds. Nothing less than $4.20 in this one. It's in the name. We're looking for a good one here. Jordan, I had three listed on this one, but then I looked at my track record and I realized that's sort of what was dropping me. I was sometimes hitting the two legs and just falling out on the one. So I've just gone for two try scorers, and I've gone Semi Valame up against the rookie in his NRL debut, the Cowboys. I think they're going to score 5-6 tries in this one, and surely he's going to get one of them. And I'm going to partner him up with Sunia Taruva. He's been absolutely fantastic to start the year. And that will give you $5.34 odds.
Well, I've done the opposite of you, because I've looked at my track record, which is all misses, and I usually go two legs, and I've gone, oh, fuck it, let's go even juicier and go three legs. So we're just having a shot here, because I'm kind of losing faith in my 40-20 ability. But we've got a good one this week. I know we can hit it. Sharks minus 6.5 to cover that line. Eels head-to-head, I think they'll get the job done there. And then I think Brian To'o, if my left and rights are right, is going up against Charlie Staines, who I do not consider a credible defender. So I am going to go Brian To'o, anytime try scorer. Put that all together, $5.79 are your odds.
Very tasty. I like that you've sprinkled a little try scorer in there. You love your lines, but you don't hate you hate your pies, but you've thrown one in there. I like it. Very tasty odds. If you listen to this, we'll get all of them up on our on the social media as well, so you can jump in on them. Why not have a punt with us? We're doing very, very well to start the season. It's looking comfortable out there. But nonetheless, subscribe to us on YouTube. Give us a review on Spotify, and we will see you all again next week as we recap. All right, peace.